May 3rd, 2024, I went to American Leadership Academy for the investigation regarding the complaint. Upon arrival, I spoke with and interviewed the school's instructor in charge, Melissa Donlevy, about the complaint. Melissa Donlevy stated, "The complainant is a former employee who was let go around November, December of 2023. The complainant never approached her with the issues mentioned in the complaint, and she was unaware of the allegation. The students are always supervised on the floor or in the classroom. Cosmetology theory is taught on Mondays only, and an instructor named Francine Medina teaches that portion. The cosmetology client floor is taught by both Francine and herself. Cosmetology is taught in the morning and afternoon. Aesthetics, which is only taught in the afternoon, was taught by an instructor named Heather Keith, but she has not been in for about a week, and she's unsure if she's coming back for the next school year or not. After the interview, I left an affidavit with Melissa to fill out and return to the board office within 10 days. After the interview, I then informed Melissa Donlevy that the school was due for their routine inspection and that it would be conducted at this time. On May 3rd, 2024, I conducted the inspection of American Leadership Academy, and the following violations were found. The contact information the board has access to is no longer valid, and it was never updated. Both the email address and the phone number provided are invalid. The student file issues found were the single still enrolling students with less than 10 high school credits into their cosmetology program and is selling hours to them. 4 out of 6 student files were for students who had less than 10 high school credits when they began the cosmetology program. 3 of the 6 student files were for students who began the cosmetology program in the 2022-2023 school year and were granted hours before they had enough high school credit. 1 of 6 students was for the 2023-2024 school year. At the conclusion of the inspection, I explained the violation found of both the instructor in charge, Melissa Donlevy, and the administration. On May 6, 2024, 3 days after the investigation and inspection, I went to the board licensing database system to verify student hours and if substitutes used in ALA cosmetology and aesthetic programs are licensed by the Arizona Marketing Cosmetology Board. The following violations were found. Students who began the cosmetology program in the 2022-2023 school year received hours before they were qualified for the program. The school has been falsely charged for students and rounding hours up or down for all students in their aesthetic and cosmetology programs since it began in the 2022-2023 school year. For example, 4.3 hours are rounded down to 4, 4.6 hours are rounded up to 5. No record of instructors, demonstrators, or student instructors and the hours they teach. Incomplete student withdrawal and transfer documentation. And none of the substitute teachers who were assigned to the athletic and cosmetology program are licensed by the Arizona Marketing and Cosmetology Board. As of July 17, 2024, the school's contact information on the board's database has not been updated. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer
them. Board, have any questions? Okay, let's move on then. So you guys had an opportunity to review this complaint and look through it. Can you walk us through what's going on? How are you looking at this? It's different than apparently what we're seeing.
Sure, there's a couple. So it kind of starts with the complaint and then it goes into violation. So where would you like me to
start? That makes more sense.
So the first complaint was that we are allowing unlicensed instructors to teach without proper license, including our performing student services without supervision. So that's both. So Ms. Dunleavy or has her cosmetology certification. She is always on the floor in the room with the students at all times. So we always had at least one person, whether it was her or Ms. Hash or Ms. Medina was in the room working with the kids. So Ms. Dunleavy was out, Ms. Francine continued would be watching the class. So as a school policy, if a teacher's out, we require a sub to take over for them, but they're not giving instruction. They're just there as a presence to monitor. Just to, you know, we don't want one teacher with 40 kids. It's just kind of having an extra set of eyes in the classroom. So we would have a sub that would be there as a presence, but not giving instruction. If a sub was in the room with students and there wasn't a teacher, if they're doing like theory work, they wouldn't be giving any instruction. It would be work that the previous teacher would give them, but they wouldn't get hours for that. They might be doing some book work, some theory work, but they wouldn't be getting their hours during that time since the licensed instructor wasn't in there. But I would say what 95% of the time is MW where somebody would be there present so that those hours were given appropriately. So that would be for that one.
Are you considering these subs to be demonstrators or?
Nope. They were just kind of
Body.
Yeah, the body in the room.
They couldn't have our whole cosmetology academy can't have more, like they can have 1 to 40. Like there were times when both these teachers would call and check on me a lot, all the time. We have a group of that. And what we'd like to do with take charge and get them all together and something cosmetology related so they could at least earn their hour. I was trying my best. I'm a new administrator. I was always present if we had to have a sub like Mr. Rebel thing, that it was because we were way out of ratio.
Sure. And it's more for safety purposes, making sure there's an extra adult in the room to help her out. Making sure kids weren't where they shouldn't be at. But they were never giving demonstrations or instruction. The complaint never approached her with the issue mentioned in the complaint that she was unaware. I think that was part of it too, with coverage. We do have an email. We do have this. I don't know if you guys have our email, but we definitely have copies of everything for you as well. But we have an email dated October 27th where we met with Ms. Dunleavy, Ms. Medina, Ms. Hatch, myself, and Mr. Krasnowski, who is the former director, going through some of these issues. So it's summary of our, we had a meeting, so to summarize the meeting we had with the administration, it talks about coverage and some news out. That first level coverage comes within the Cosmetology Academy. So the statement that she made that Ms. Hatch is not allowed to go to administration anymore. What we came to an agreement was that they work in-house. So if somebody's going to be out sick, they would reach out to each other through text message or email. And if they happen to be out, they don't need to contact administration to let us know. And that was in the email. We need the team to work together, coordinate coverage as does and does not include administration. So kind of a small representation of that. She was aware and we had come to an agreement on that. And then the policy, students should never be left unattended in the classroom without a licensed cosmetology instructor. Regular sub TAs cannot cover classes. Paula can cover cosmetology classroom if she is teaching skin-related topics. So we were very clear on who can be in there at what time, and that was stated to everyone on the team at that time back in October. That kind of covers that. What was the other complaint that you'd like to address in here?
Well, we're looking for coverage of the students and how you're dealing with it. Of course, the hour question that you brought up. That
yeah, so I think the coverage is, I think we've kind of addressed that with the coverage in regard to the hours. So we both started teaching 23-24 is our first year at that school. And so we were given a spreadsheet that would use the clock hours for the students. And so the rounding issue, it was an Excel spreadsheet. So that could be just an oversight on who set that up in the first place. I don't even know. We just kind of went with what was given to us, thinking that was in line with the board hours.
So you're doing manual tracking of hours?
Yeah.
We have a time clock where we clock in and out every day. And if I was sent, I wasn't there the first year. I took over there next year, started the same process they were doing the whole prior year. And what it is, as you can see, I enter them correctly. And then when you go to enter total hours, it accumulates either up or down automatically on a Google spreadsheet. I did notice that was happening. I thought that's what you guys expected because I had been teaching the whole first year. So that was not intentional and I will fix that.
And we do have a timer system up for an idea to just clock in and out of their motion in the classroom.
And you most the younger students, is that what the issue is with
that? That was part of it too.
High school students, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're the age of between 13 to 18 years. They're really young. And there was a little miscommunication amongst everybody the first year before I started, and younger students were let into our program. We were told they were grandfathered and they could at least continue. That's what I, before I had started, that was the, so those students had continued. So when she came for the inspection, some of the students were still in the program, but we were under the assumption that they were, had been grandfathered in. I know.
So yeah, in 23-23 was the first year our school had opened. They had the inspection from the cosmetology board and they said that you can have students 9th through 12th grade can be in your program. So at that point, they started enrolling students freshman year, 9th through 12th grade into the program.
Right.
An issue came up is that they might be, that that's not allowed. They have to be 16 years or older.
Right. There's an expectation about that, about what can't do, can't do.
Right. So I have an email here from Alicia Ailman from the Cosmetology Board saying, do we have, is there, what about the students who started early? And her response was, current students should be affected, they can continue. So receiving that from the board, we were under the assumption that these students who started were grandfathered in and they can continue, you know, getting their hours and continuing the program, even though they had more of that threshold because of an oversight at the beginning of the program. So starting in 23, 24, when we both came on, we were moving out with the assumption that those kids can still continue, they can still earn hours, and then we made the adjustment from there. I think on further inspection through just kind of the state board, well, we realized that 16 years old wasn't actually the correct one, just the 10 credit hours with 2-week ELA. So upon learning that, we actually changed, I have documented that to our course catalog with the AFRS statement in there, letting parents and families know, like, moving forward, that we are not allowing kids, and unless they complete their 10 high school credits, 2-week plus the ELA. And our student services department is aware that any students that enroll or want to be in the program are vetted to make sure that they've met that criteria, that threshold. If not, they're kicked back, and then we let them know what's ready to get into it. So I think a lot of it was just a miscommunication, understanding of what the board policy was. And so anytime we figured out what it was or were told what it was, we just kind of made the adjustment from there and moved forward with it. All
right. And I did have a question before I have reached out and asked the board. And I really just got responses that said, you and your executive team have the rules and regulations. If you feel together that you're following them, and I did, I would meet with my executive team, and we just said, as long as the cosmetology instructor is present at all times, that we would have to have a sub in there for the body, the amount of students. So I did try to reach out and ask and get communication. It was just very, if you feel like you're following the rules and regulations, and you expect to feel like you are, then I have that email right here.
It's interesting. It's sort of like, I already thought I could drive 9 miles an hour, and shoot, no way, it told me I didn't. So, yes, I made my own thing.
Yes, if you want to add.
Yeah, so the email with Alicia Ailman was from the initial inspection on September 14, 2022. It was in regards to the finding gun. With the students being enrolled prematurely. We did a follow-up after the case had moved through the board. The follow-up inspection was in December of 2022, which is 3 months later. And we then expressed that, yes, this is, you know, they have to have 10 high school credits, they need to be 16. So it looked like from the email thread that you guys checked with Alicia was before that.
Well, second year, yeah. I wasn't present that first year. So that
was the generalization. Prior to the secondary, the follow up inspection. And then they were again informed and clarified.
Okay. All right, so where we are today, in your inspection, did you come to conclusion that they were currently operating within legal parameters?
Due to my findings, I found students from that first year,
yeah,
still in the program. I also found one student that enrolled this past year, the 23-24, that was enrolled prematurely. As well as some other information that I have included in my exhibit.
Okay. All right, so the issues are all of this type in this case.
Correct.
The school itself operates well, plainly.
There were no sanitation violations.
Okay. Do the board have questions?
The Tracy Wilkinson here. The violations were substantiated, Ms. Hill. The school allowing unlicensed instructors, the student file violations.
I think there's two paths on that question. The substitute teacher thing is confusing to me. The thought of it.
Because generally in this industry, we're looking at an instructor being there, there is the demonstrator capability, but that still requires that an instructor to be supervising, you know that. And there's not really a provision for a substitute of any sort to be a designated non-licensed person that babysits.
Well, I think that's an ALA, that's our school policy of like a ratio of students. So we just wanted to provide an extra person in the room.
Right.
To be that, yeah.
Kind of a monitor.
Well, keep in mind, they're minor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think in our industry, I'd advise you not to use the phrase substitute.
Oh.
Said kind of throws a big flag up. Do that. Because we don't really have that on part of our work.
So it's something like that word class and where teachers called out all the time, every day together, and it left just one with a whole academy. What is it you guys would like us to do?
Well, I don't really know. You know, normally, you know, it's not our position here today to be able to do that. But if you look at the laws, then it lays it out pretty cleanly. There are instructors, student instructors that are involved that can be dealt with in one way or another that can be helpful. There are instructors, of course, in a simple manner. So we don't really have much else.
And to clarify, so if we didn't have an instructor there, would it just be they just wouldn't get their hour?
Hours, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not a class.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tracy Wilkinson here. You had said they were not getting their hours when they had a quote unquote a babysitter.
If Dunleavy was not available, if it was just a substitute teacher on our behalf, then no, they wouldn't get their hours that day.
So silly. There's no class. That,
sorry.
Yeah, there's no class that day.
No class.
That kind of makes sense.
But when I found out this was happening with our teachers, where they were calling in all the time, I took it upon myself to, I was present every single day teaching demonstrations. I was doing the best I could with what I was dealt, especially from that first year.
Yeah.
And I am learning. It's my first time being in licensee and you try to follow.
Sure. Right. And you feel clear at this stage on the state laws regarding who can come to school, who can't come to school.
Oh, yeah. It's literally in our handbook. So
good, because that's clearly presented in the law.
Yes.
That's not an arbitrary thing that the grandfathering thing was giving me crawling to look at my back. We don't do grandfather. So, okay. So, anyway, generally, we think we got this cleaned up, but it wasn't meant for that. Just that was fair.
From my findings, correct. There are also exhibits from both complainants, which I believe they may be on the public.
Yeah. Does the board wish to hear from the people who are complaining? Is there additional information that we think we'd get from that that would be of use?
No.
I reviewed all the pictures.
Right. So do we have any additional questions for anyone involved in this case?
Tracy Wilkinson here. Do we have an accurate email now?
So to answer that question, I had just submitted our application in May and it's all updated. Everything correct. We got our approval back to open. So I'm not sure if someone on this end was
upgraded
in it, or if there's
somewhere. Yeah, we'd be okay on our side. We'll make sure we have the information.
Yeah.
Tracy, I believe the answer to that is yes. It's currently an issue.
I'm confirming right now.
Yeah. And we're updated. We're looking at it, but we believe there would be the question.
Okay.
Do you have any additional questions?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Well, then let's move into deliberation about this. So we've reviewed the potential and additional questions. Has anyone changed their position and has any additional questions or discussion that we'd like to go through at this moment? We have to go the first step, but yeah, let's do the first step so we can find that out. So do we have a motion regarding that?
Who's one lover move that we accept the findings of facts and conclusions of law?
Goodman second. Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Right. So we agree this act. Do we have a motion regarding the order of business on this matter?
Do we have any histories?
Yes, we do. This report's really, I'm trying to get there. I'm sorry.
It's an interesting IT day. It's just, it is.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
So on September 14, 2022, there was the case. They did negotiate and paid a civil penalty of $500, and it was for student file violation.
Anything else?
It was unlicensed school, according to the notes.
Unlicensed school, and there were contract.
And student file violation.
Okay. I'm surprised we didn't catch the underage people at that point. Interesting.
All right, so that's our history. I think I'll clarify. I think the student file violations likely were.
Oh, can we?
Including that underage.
I don't have the report for that case here, so I wouldn't be able to say, but I believe it was because of that, right, Ms. Alex?
Alex referenced the current presentation.
Correct, and I was the one who did the initial,
In 22.
The student file violations were due to the student being prematurely enrolled. That was right after that was when Alicia, being misinformed, told them that they could be grandfathered in. But by the time I had come back in December, I explained to them that that was a miscommunication. That's not the case.
That curve, okay.
Correct.
Let's try to figure that out to fit.
Ellen, you said December of 2022?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, anyway. So that's where we are. That's where we've been. It does sound like they've done a lot to clean the place up, which is significant. Do we have a motion for an order of discipline this matter?
Tracy Wilkinson, I move to offer a consent agreement for $2,000 civil penalty. If not signed within 30 days, move to a formal hearing with 12 months probation.
And then, okay. All right. Do we have a second for that motion?
Mr. Chair, if I may ask, is that $2,000 based upon the violations as alleged in the investigator's report with the $2,000 to be made up? There are three allegations in that report for a total of $2,000. Is that the breakdown, or is it a $2,000 penalty for one violation?
For all three.
Okay, so it is $500 for the one, $1,000 for the second, and $500 for the third. Just want to make sure that they're correct.
All right. Goodman second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay. 33. All right. I didn't make it through. So do we have another idea? I go somewhere. Jeez, do you have any thoughts?
Just that $2,000 civil penalties too extreme.
Would you entertain other ideas?
I just based it off the substantiated violations, and I didn't see a reason to change it.
All right. Validated any idea, but we need another one.
Ms. Montgomery moves that we offer the following in a consent agreement: $1,000 civil penalty for the three violations. Do I need to specify how much per each violation or?
For clarity on the record, it'd be best if there are three different violations.
Okay, $250 for the unlicensed instructor, $500 for the student violation, $250 for the fraudulent or false information to the public slash board with 12-month probation.
Okay. Would that, and would that probation have early termination?
Yeah, early termination. Yes, thank you.
Do we have a second for this motion?
Turrentine, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Nay.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
All right. Do we need a third idea? A third idea. Let's see if we can come up with our concept. I make a motion that we impose a civil penalty of $1,500, $500 per item. 12 months probation, early termination capability.
Hey, Gary, this is member Knox. I'm on the phone. Hey. If you need me to be a tiebreaker for you guys.
I'm glad you're here, buddy. I just made a motion if you have an interest in seconding it.
Can you, Mr. Kerr, can you go ahead and restate your motion?
My motion is that we impose a civil penalty of $1,500, $500 per item on three different charges, and that it be a 12-month probation with early termination as soon as they pay the money.
Okay, that was the last motion that went through, correct?
That was the last one, yeah. We've been.
Okay, I'm a nay on that one.
So there's a motion on the floor where we need a second.
Goodman, second.
All right, so a motion is taken for a $1,500 violation, three $500 violations with all the regular garnishment. And we motion second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. All right, we're out. All right, so that passed. So we are finding you your company. $1,500. It's just, it needs to fit down the line. I mean, and you are, if you're on that path, so I'm not criticizing anything you're doing. It, where they were before was not acceptable. But where you are sounds better. Just make sure you've got an instructor able to see what's going on. And there are many ways of doing that. So.
I have a good question. So we have two new instructors this year, and do I just submit that? Do I mail that to you guys? Is that someone I email? Who do I get in contact
with? We don't need to see or know your instructors. We just know they're there.
Oh.
You're the director. We know that. That's all we need.
Okay. The licenses will need to be posted in the instruction area, but we.
No, you're okay. And just make sure you've got them where they can see your students. So your students, you're good. So we appreciate you.
And
thank you.
Oh, and if I may just clarify, Mr. Chair, just to make sure, this is a consent offer that's being made. Otherwise, we'll proceed to a hearing. So if you're not,
you'll get a paper.
Proceed to a hearing.
So if you want to come back, we can do it tomorrow. So. Probably better way to deal with it. Thank you, Ms. Hill. Cup with schools because we have a high standard for schools. And yeah, world. All right. So, Ms. Rodriguez, do you believe you could help us on this last B section?
Yes, sir. Rosa Rodriguez, compliance administrator, step 2. B, informal interview with negotiation options. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the following will be attending in person or virtual. Number 1 and number 2. Number 3 is unresolved. 4 is unresolved. 5 and 6 continued. And number 7 negotiated.
The heavy load.
Yeah, we negotiated 72% of our cases this month.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I didn't want to interrupt the last proceeding. Mr. Knox, what time did you return to the meeting?
It was just an illusion.
Marshall, are you there? Okay, did not yet. We still have Chase and Krista, or?
I'm here.
And I appreciate your support that you're all losing out there.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Marshall?
145.
Thank you.
All right, everybody can play, everything working like it should be. Going to get through his last three cases here, life's going to be good. All right. Let's go through it and finish it up. All right, our next case is case number 2024-00151. Diva Nails and Spa, number one LLC, SNT 15836. Diva Nails and Spa, one LLC owner, John Trung, 503-00087. Ah, there you are. All right, up here. Just take a moment before you hop in that chair. Oh, there we go. Got to back up, back up.
Back up.
Let's see how tall you are. Raise your hand. Please swear or affirm the testimony you give to be the whole truth.
Yes.
State your name.
John Trump.
Nicely done. Do we have a corporate, whatever that?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do have an LLC attestation form on file for this case.
I am curious about that separation between the corporates and LLCs. You can teach me something. All right. All right, and you're not represented by legal counsel?
No.
Okay. All right, investigators here, and would you please inform us about this case?
Good morning, Mr. Bagley, and a member for, my name is Kathy Bergeron. On January 4th, 2024, I conducted an inspection of Diva Nails and Spa LLC. I spoke to the owner, Mr. John Trung. During the inspection, I identified the following health violation. I found credit card refused nail files and buffers. Also, I found 1 gallon of MMA. You will see in the photo, you'll catch the report. I asked Mr. Trung what monomer that he used for the acrylic nails. Mr. Trung showed me 1 gallon of MMA. It prohibited substance according to our rules. Stated Mr. Trung that this is a banned prohibited substance. Mr. Trung said that they mixed the MMA and the EMA together and they used on their customers. I provided the licensee with the inspection report and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address that.
Any questions?
Mr. Trung, are you using MMA?
No more.
No more. But you were.
Just I picked up the wrong one.
Okay. Do you have it in your store anymore? In your shop anymore?
No. As soon as after that, it was popped up.
Okay. Thanks.
Maybe all these nails student eyes get big.
Ms. Bergeron, Tracy Wilkinson here. What was the other sanitation issues? There was the MMA.
It was the credit card that used nail files and buffers.
Ah, yes. And the MMA, they had 2 containers of it, or?
They had 1 container of the MMA. And then they had a container of EMA, and Mr. Trung says that they make them together and use them as customers.
And EMA is legal.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, don't. Mr. Trung, would you go through this with us, give us an idea of the allegations?
Okay. So, instance, probably 4 or 5 years now. We remodeled and we've been using fittings for the tiles for the furniture. Perhaps they were done with the customer and just left there and
We need up in time.
Oh, that's what they were talking about. Was
yeah,
or the remainder of them was.
He's very aware of that. But we do use it for each customer when we do it. And I think that's just the wrong. I do use the no MMA, which is the one that is there was legal. But there are some photographs in here that are not much blonde. So perhaps like this one right here. The flooring is not ours.
Okay.
So I just want.
You want to take a look at that? If it makes sense to you. I know you go to some of these, it's difficult
yeah.
to remember which one's which, but. I think our big issue here is the MMA. It doesn't. Yeah, you go to so many times. I don't remember. Anyway, so I was just curious about your time. No strat, no value. All right, so our main issue here is the MMA, I believe. The rest of it seems like it's just.
I feel like the sanitation is violation furnish.
I think the sanitation violation is one of leftover packages, but it appears to be using a prepackaged kit.
Correct.
But it shouldn't be once they're used on a cart.
No, you shouldn't try. Okay. But we didn't have a dirty building. We didn't have some other thing of some sort.
No, it was the nail valve and buffers.
Okay.
And the MMA.
MMA. MMA is bad guys. All right. So, do we have any questions for the defendant or our investigators?
I have an ongoing concern. We're continuing to hold the shop owners responsible for having an illegal product, but it's a product that's legally sold. Absolutely. So it's a trap. I think it's a horrific trap for the community. And until we change the laws around selling it, seems rather difficult to have the right amount of accountability. But the law is the law, so we're stuck. We're trapped too.
Yeah, it's certainly something for our legislative committees to look at in the future and come up with a way to get this out of those stores.
Tracy yeah. Wilkinson here. I would say, barbicide is required. They sell other type of cleaners, but we know we need barbicide. I would say that's a similar issue. Just saying.
This is Chase. Real quick, can I have a reminder on what outreach efforts we've made, because I know we've made several to inform the public about the MMA illegality.
Yeah, do you want to rescue that?
Yeah, it's all about the communications administrator. We have a Facebook that has gone out five times about MMA. We sent an email to all male salon owners about MMA and the that you can't use it or have it in your salon. And then it's also on our website.
Does that answer your question, Chase?
Just to confirm. Everybody whose contact information we have, because we send out the licenses via email and things like that, they've all received email notification regarding this, right? Like, aside from our website?
Correct, if they have an accurate email on Facebook.
Copy. Cool.
All right. Okay, so do we have a thought about the first step in this case?
Tracy, well...
Yes, ma'am.
Tracy Wilkinson here. I move to make a motion to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Goodman, second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, you absolutely agree this happened. Do we have a motion for an order of discipline this matter?
Is there any history?
No history. Oh.
How long have we been busy?
17 years.
Very good. Well done.
Okay, so we have a 17-year history of compliance.
Mr. Chair, I'm actually going to clarify that we only review 3 years of history. We only maintain 3 years of history. Okay.
We have 3 years of history. Yeah. We did 17. All right, so from there, do we have an order of this on this matter? Motion? The MMA is certainly an issue.
Tracy Wilkinson here. I moved off our consent agreement for 750 for two different violations, civil penalty if not signed within 30 days, moved to a formal hearing, 12 months probation.
To be clear, is that 750 total or 750 for each violation?
Total, there was a $500 recommended for the MMA and 250 recommended for the dirty buffers.
Copy. Thank you.
Okay. McFadden, second that. Okay, we have a motion and a second. On this motion, did you want a year to pay kind of thing and that sort of stuff?
Yes. Sorry, the 12 months probation, yes.
All right, thank you. All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
All right, by majority, we will send you a consent agreement for a $750 fine related mostly to the MMA. And it is a standard $500 from us for MMA bottle. You have a year to pay it. So you can pay any part along the way that you want to over that time period. It's difficult, especially with somebody been in 17 years and done such a good job. But it is what the worst. So you'll get that in the mail. Okay, thank you. And thank you, Greg, sir. Thank you for doing such a good job. I hope your business booms to cover this.
Thank you. Our next case is number 2024-00475. Lucky Nail and Spa, S&T 289. Lucky Nail and Spa, LLC owner. Bill New Lee, license 507-00742. Member and Kung Fam's member.
You swear from the testimony if they be truth, the whole truth?
Yes, sir.
And state your name, please.
Kung Fam.
Thank you. Please have a seat.
Mr. Chair, for the record, we do have an LLC attestation form on file for this case.
Okay. And our investigator, would you please introduce yourself and review this case?
Good morning, Mr. Bailey, members of the board. My name is Alexandra Hill. On February 29th, 2024, I conducted an inspection of Lucky Nail and Spa and I spoke with the manager. While inspecting the supply area, 1 gallon of KTI 3000 liquid monomer was found in the storage room with methyl methacrylate, MMA, as the first ingredient listed. My manager was informed that this is a highly toxic substance and is prohibited to use and or have on the premises of the establishment, and that EMA is within state and federal regulations. I also underlined methyl in the ingredient list to show management and ownership what to avoid when purchasing liquid acrylic monomer. The KTI 3000 monomer warnings on the bottle state: avoid contact with skin and eyes. Avoid inhalation of vapor or mist. If on the skin, immediately remove, take off all contaminated clothing, rinse skin with water and shower. If inhaled, move the victim to fresh air and keep at a rest position, comfortable for breathing. The bottle states for industrial use only. Nowhere on the monomer's packaging says it is to be used for nails or on the human body. Due to the nature of how liquid acrylic monomers are used in a salon setting, it is impossible to avoid the warnings on the product packaging. This establishment has had the same ownership since October 2012, almost 12 years. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address.
Were there any other violations?
There were no other sanitation violations.
Almost. Does the board have any questions for our investigator? All right, so you had an opportunity to review the complaint.
Yes. So
So when we purchased the MMA, so again, he bringing that for the supply. When he sell it, we don't read that. So when we purchase, when the inspection come in, they say, "May you're not using the store." But again, when I call and ask, how come they not spend the supply? So they keep sell like that. All the Nemsalon have that. So the violation. So
I know. We agree. That's difficult. So yeah, we will work on trying to find a way to do it. It's not within our control.
Right.
Any questions about this? Does anybody have? All right. Do we have a motion regarding?
Tracy Wilkinson here. I move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Thank you.
Goodman, second.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. So we agree this happened.
No kids sick.
How long have you been in business? 12 years? 12.
Yeah.
Two very good guys.
I move. Tracy Wilkinson here. I move to offer a consent agreement for a $500 civil penalty. If not signed within 30 days, move to a formal hearing with 12 months probation.
Goodman, second.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Nay.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to be with you. By a majority, we passed it. I would feel bad fining you for this because we agree with you.
I mean, if by the law, I understand, but by the supply.
Yeah.
If multiple supply, when did that do that? All the next law, it's not fair. When you buy $500, you know, now it top the business.
No, I agree.
So,
if you've been in business 12 years and went to school, you should know MMA is not allowed.
Yeah, we're trapped. We have to follow the laws of the boards.
I understand. You guys follow the law, but again,
yeah,
no, who want to read the description, the small bottle, the big gallon bottle, and it's small letters? Who wants to see that? So nobody look at that.
Yeah,
so, you know, I pay, but you know what, by the law,
no, we all support you. We'll send
you. If we have to shut down the supply.
Yeah, we'll send you. You have a year to do it. And we totally agree with you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not pissed, but the thing is, you better do something with the supply.
All right, we'll work on it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would like to make a clarifying statement here, too, as well. When individuals apply for their establishment license for the organization, they're signing a statement that they have read, agreed, and understand the statutes and rules where this is clearly defined. So they, I understand the supply side of the conversation, and I agree that we need to potentially look at doing something about that as an organization. But these establishment owners have already agreed in writing and signed saying that they understand the laws and rules, where it is clearly dictated that they can't use this. So I just want to provide that for some additional context as well.
Yeah, I think we all agree. I think in every profession, there's cheat codes. It's just,
yeah.
You have to, as the owners, you have to know not to cheat.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it would be worth it for us to put an effort into figuring out a way to get the supply stopped. It's just wrong.
It's predatory.
Which is, to be clear though, it is allowed in other applications. It's not allowed in
But the
in
whole
mail is application.
They use supply storage.
Yeah. That's which we don't currently regulate.
Right. But
and so it's a spiraling, unfortunately, it's one of the spiraling arguments.
We're not gonna solve it today.
And Deputy Director Shepherd, my only comment would be there is personal responsibility as a licensee to know the rules and statutes.
Yeah, and we are as a board responsible to hold them accountable for following the same rules and statute.
Yeah. So we are where we are and they are where they are. But it's got value with our legislative contact to let them know that this staff exists. Technically. Yep. There are lived. Our next case staff is 2024-004-21, Nathan Hatton, BAR-005397. If you're on the phone, star six. If you're here, come forward. Anybody want to volunteer to be him? All right, yeah, good choice. All right, hearing no response. I move that case number 2024-004-21 move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree on the consent agreement before that happens.
Good phone over, second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Next case is 2024-004-32, Illusion Barbershop, SDOS 17750, Mariella German, BAR-001422. Anybody here from there? Star six, if you're on the phone, Mariella German. Hearing no response, I move the case number 2024-004-32. Move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree on the consent agreement as offered before that time.
Good phone over, second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimously, we agree to both of those, and the last three have been moved on down the highway. We are now up to fun parts number 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 15. Those wishing to address the board need not to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on any given public matter, reasonable amount of time. In addition, any person wishing to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so pursuant to ARS 38431.018. The board can only take action on matters listed on the agenda. Action on public comment matters that are not listed on the agenda be limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule a time in the future for us to do that. So does anyone out there want to address the board at this point, or anybody on the phone with the star six? So that's if they can push. Got anything, guys? Did you learn anything today? Yeah, a little bit. You're all right.
Confused about the whole, like, with and without negotiation, what that means, because you know, the whole without negotiation, I feel like they were never. But I guess the other one, you know, the other people.
Yeah, good point.
I would be happy to address that with you after the conclusion of the meeting.
Thank you.
What a threat that was.
As far as the MMA versus the ditch chamber to get the MMA twice doors, and whatever one should be cracked down, because I do know from experience dealing with the bike, because my oven vendors, some of them actually just order both knowing that. And then when it comes to the supply, some of them could potentially put that in there because it's even more expensive or cheaper. So it's not something you guys are going to crack down on now, supply first, because they're the distributors of it.
I'll be happy to chat with you after the meeting regarding that.
It's a good question, though. That's exactly what we're addressing here, that we've been talking about. Okay. Yeah, well done. All right. Anybody help? Oh, hello.
Who's in charge of the supply? Does a supply company that do sell MMA? Like, how do you, like, I guess because it's not like in your guys' scope to be able to crack down.
They're not licensed. So,
right, so who is? Do we know?
Just retail.
Would you like a job on the board?
Yeah, the board does the best they can to make sure that the industry is safe. Our purpose of being here is to protect the public,
But we recognize we can't protect the public without our licensees. We have some 150,000 licensees, and we can't be 150,000 players. So we rely on the licensees to protect the public working with us. And we consider that a partnership, and we try to work with you as a partner. So don't think of us as the guys chasing you, because we're not chasing you. I think about.
For registry, does that mean like if they do have a prior offense, whatever it is, will the penalty be larger, or will they more likely be likely to show now?
Can anybody answer that?
Unfortunately, if it's called the public, the board really legally, the board can't respond to something. Call the public is an opportunity for people in the public to be able to address the board on an item, but it is something that then the board could agendize for a future.
Okay.
Board meeting that like to.
But I just think you're right, but we can all try to ask questions after.
We'll come talk to y'all after.
Do appreciate you guys' presence though.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And just.
Well, the question was, like, when you're determining the fines or, you know, whatever the repercussions are, are you fully thinking as far as like the law itself, like with the one you put the school? Personally, I feel like it was a little easy. I get it that it was just those minor violations, but for me as a student, like, I wonder, like, if you take that into consideration, the impact on the kids that now aren't getting their lights, their hours. Were they aware that they were sitting there, not getting their hours because there was an person there? And I would be really upset going in thinking that, well, I'm here, I'm at school, I'm putting in the time and then not receiving the hours. So that seemed like it should have been a higher, but that's not technically like in the law. So can you not penalize for that? Because like on my side, like, how does that get?
Let's agenda this.
Great. I'll chat with them about board parameters.
Great question. Great question.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have a motion that we can do something about? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned.